Okay, while they're doing this, let me take care of some announcements that I do want to cause you to be aware of. First of all, continue to be in prayer for Pat Ireland. Please do not forget the joint recital. Stephen Schaub and Sandra Haggery this Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. to 3:15. The two are just going together and putting together some very beautiful music for you. It's just such a blessing and opportunity that our church, our size, has two people that are so gifted by God and who used their skill and their gift to improve it, to train it, to prove where they are today, Stephen and both Sandra. So Sandra and Stephen Child this Saturday afternoon at 2 to 3, we will have some light refreshment for you or conversation and all as far as that is concerned. Now, I will be talking a few minutes more about prayer, but we started a Tuesday night prayer meeting. Yes, it's still going on. I don't know what we turned on that we didn't have on before. But just before Philippe Willem went to the his missionary outreach as far as the outreach for the Jews, the Chosen People Ministries, we started a prayer meeting on Tuesday evening that has just turned into real dynamite. When Rod Becker was here, when I went to Freeport in June, did three nights on prayer. I need to do a brief series on prayer so that what I want to do with what we will do at this time is just go through multitude of the passages in the New Testament that deal with prayer. But it's just one of the most powerful weapons we have. Jesus Christ always was in prayer. Been doing a little work on the prayers of Christ. He prayed all night before he picked his disciples. It's just amazing the intensity of prayer, relationship with God the Father that from Jesus Christ all through the church age, indeed all of the Old Testament, but the apostles, Paul, and their devotion and need of prayer and the power of it. And so what we're going to do is 2 weeks from tonight, Philippe will give his report and dealing with all the things that he did. If you get home from work around 5, try to take a nap because kind of like Rob Becker is just the only way Philippe knows how to go at it, as you know. He starts off very intense and just goes from there. And so please be ready. It'll be 2 weeks from tonight. Something happened to this one now. I tell you what, we'll work our way through it, but I'm sorry? Well, I'm not getting the feedback I had, but I still hear the hum. Is there a microphone down here? Oh, well, then that's what it is. Yeah. Nope. Well, okay. We haven't prayed yet. That's all right. We'll survive through that, Paul. We'll make it. So remember, 2 weeks from tonight, Philippe will be giving his presentation. And I have a lot of things I want to cover tonight, so let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God in prayer. Let us pray. Mm-hmm. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to assemble ourselves this evening with other believers who are like-minded for the purpose of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. And now, Father, we dedicate these next few moments to the teaching ministry of God the Holy Spirit, that we may accurately understand the passages before us, understand our mission in life. To this end, we do pray in Christ's name. Amen. Can I have just a little more volume, please? Now, I had my notes ready for tonight in the manner in which I was going to present tonight, but about 6 o'clock, I received a phone call that goes along with the way I was going to introduce this thing tonight. So I'll start with the phone call. The phone call that I received was from Ian and Carol McGrath, and they called from the country of Honduras. And here is the country of Honduras right here, Guatemala, Mexico. So this is where they called from in the country in Central America. We just had a fantastic 20-minute conversation. I'm just amazed, and I'm not, I am and I'm not, at the opportunity given to North Dallas Bible Church already, and things that McGrath and Ann and Carol and I talked about as far as what needs to be done and by when do some of these things need to be done. For an example, he went to Honduras August the 15th. Now, I'm going to say something here, and please do not overreact, because I've already told you that this idea that because someone is somewhere like in Honduras or on a mission field, and we relate these things to us like we're second class back here, because we do have to take care of our house, we do have to pay bills, we do have to watch television, we do have to do, you know, we have to do and live our own lives. And I do not think it is right to come back and try to put a heavy on people. But it makes a nice perspective when we can do something like this. They arrived in Honduras on the 15th of August. Now, in that time frame till today, they spoke to 19 military camps. They have passed out 17,000 salvation by grace. At these camps, these military camps, they have, and the other publications, the ones dealing with Psalm 23 and some of the other things, and I'll get to that in a moment. But at the military camps, talking to officers from lieutenants up to colonels, as well as enlisted men, they have spoken to 12 different police stations, all the police personnel. They spoke at a military school for young people. They were sky high. It's difficult to generate the energy that someone has who has just talked, just yesterday I think it was, to 600 teenagers and told them about Christ crucified, dead for their sins, rose again, and lived for everlasting life, and watch 600 teenagers respond to the gospel and be able to hand every one of them a salvation by grace and take them through it. It is boggling to the mind. He also, in the capital of Honduras, and I'm not even going to deal with the pronunciation, Tacuala. It's right down here in Honduras. He was given the opportunity, unknown to him, that this was going to be something that opened up. What I'm letting you know, and right now we're the only church supporting this team. And he was given the opportunity. In fact, you know, they drug him in, he and Carol. He spoke on nationwide television in the nation of Honduras, giving the gospel for 30 minutes. Just the gospel of how Jesus Christ became man, died on a cross, judgment of the sins of the world. All you have to do is to believe in him to be saved. 30-minute opportunity on national television, come back. They wanting to come back. The military camps wanting to come back. Unplanned, unsolicited, silly. He's got they not only an opportunity, they demand that he be at this big conference in Chile on 23 September. And they want him to be there. Then he went up to San Pedro Sula, up in the, along the coast, up here the coast, and here he's been all over, and he's just going on and on and on of the opportunities, this thing in Chile in September, opportunity in October, there's a big conference, there's a conference in America in 95, and all of these places that he goes, letters, people, missionaries, we want more of your material, we love this little salvation by grace, it's so simple, it's so true, it's so, right, and again, it's so simple, and, to go through, he needs that. We're going to get the Psalm 23, the spiritual love. We're working on a basic book. He needs that. We talked on that from the perspective that you and I believe, a booklet on a spirituality by grace that I hope to have completed within just a few days and do some fast work in getting this thing to him. He needs it badly. Agrees with us that spirituality is by faith, just as salvation is. He wants to get all of these things out. One of the series that he and Carol are listening to from this church is the study When Satan Calls Your Name. He is so appreciative for your prayer. He went through a couple of things that happened, not as a result of just this Tuesday's prayer, but Tuesday, a week ago's prayer, knowing that we were praying, and then the things that happened Tuesday night, Wednesday, and things that opened doors, as the Word of God calls it, that just boggled their mind, the way things fell into place. And he knew that it was prayer from this church. And he wanted me to express, he and Carol, their unbelievable gratitude to you for your prayer. Then he said something that I will share with you. That cut pretty deep, went pretty deep. He said, you remember how he talked. It just amazes me how God pulls these people from Australia, sends one as a missionary to the south here in Mississippi, and now sends another one to Mexico. But in his Australian English. But Carol and I have spent this week in such prayer for you and your church. He said, in your study of Satan Calling Your Name, he said, when we see people saved, the way we're seeing them with the salvation by grace and knowing what we're going to be getting with spirituality by grace, we know you cannot be left alone either. And he said that we are in constant prayer for you and North Dallas Bible Church. And he said, we just know that Satan cannot allow this to go on. We are surprised that he hasn't hit us, so therefore we have decided he's going to hit you, meaning you, this church. He's going to have to hit you, and because your prayers are protecting us. So he said perhaps our prayers can do some protection in regard to you. So I wanted you to be aware of these things that are going on in regard to Ann and Carol McGrath. As just one thing, Chile is opening up for him. He had no plans of going there. He said that means more literature. We got enough for so many countries. Now he's got Chile opening up. We can sit on our wonderful spiritual life here, or we can get some things accomplished. And so you must continue, if you will, as Paul encourages and exhorts in prayer. I encourage you and exhort you in prayer. You have three opportunities as far as this church is concerned to meet with other believers. One is on Tuesday night. That is missionary or mission night of prayer where we all meet together, men and women. I hope we have to move it back to 6:30, that many respond to it. Then on Wednesday evening, we pray in regard to the church, the people in the church, and then Sunday morning, it's in the bulletin as a women's prayer meeting, but I let you men know I snuck in and they didn't kick me out, and a couple of other men have snuck in, and it's not just for ladies. We call it a battle day prayer because of Sunday so many messages of truth and of untruth being taught. So you have three opportunities to meet with others of this church, plus your own time in prayer alone. Now, with that, having laid this groundwork for our study tonight, dealing with Central America, I just gave you Colombia, the missionaries arrested in their home. You heard David Love tell us about that a couple of Sunday nights ago in Colombia. They came in and were arrested in their own homes. Other missionaries advised to leave, and the Loves are going. Instead of leaving, they're going down there. Central America, the McGraths, have been told many times, more than likely they will die, yet they go. These missionaries give up a great deal of luxury. They give up a lot of American living. And, boy, I tell you, people need to go down and be a missionary somewhere in Central and South America, Russia, somewhere, and just see how little we have to complain about such luxuries as indoor plumbing and toilet paper. You just can't believe what a luxury that is, these kinds of things. And then to add to that Haagen-Dazs ice cream and everything else that you and I have, that we really think nothing of in that regard. Now, are there any more in the battle than we are here in North Dallas? Are there any more subject to attack than any of us here in North Dallas? Are there any more in some type of a full-time Christian service than any of you here in Dallas? I mean this as strongly as I can state it, not by any means. By no means. Wherever you are in the plan of God, you're going to have that type of battle. I enjoy the stories of bringing the light to a dark continent of the United States of America before it was that, and the missionaries that traveled across and were eaten and skinned and scalped and all of the horrible things that happened just to bring the gospel. And to Christians throughout all church history, things that have happened. But let's take a look at the casualty in America, in Dallas. Divorces. If you don't understand that divorces among Christians, especially Christians who desire to live a Christ-centered life, is part of this battle. The whole conflict in regard to marriage, the whole problem of loneliness, both married, but primarily I'm zeroing in on single people, and the liberal, let's use that word, the liberal view of sex, alcohol, drugs, immorality of all kinds, even liberally observed as such in many churches. Financial problems, health problems, illness, cancer, things that many people in this church have come in contact with. Barbara Wright, Ruth Shaw, Ruby Schumacher, Ron Henderson. These are heavy ones. All of many others to degrees that I'm not aware of and some that I am. You don't think you're in a battle? You don't think Satan's going to do whatever he can? No. You may not be down on some corner handing out a tract and a Jeep drive by and mow you down with a machine gun. No, just mow your marriage down. Just mow your spiritual life down. this caused many things to happen to get you away from a local church and worshiping with other believers. Then you go into the area of sin, failure. These are parts of a conflict that are so real. I'm so tired of believers not understanding that even sin is very much part of the satanic attack. Second, 1 Corinthians 7. Husbands and wives, give each other sex. Don't set up an opportunity for Satan to come in. Clear as it can be taught. They use it. They use whatever he can to come in and just mow you down. To go through some of the things that can happen in the battlefield where you are and living your Christ-centered life when Satan decides to move in. I've called this when Satan calls your name. People, I hope that you have the ability, and I know most of you do. I love this church. That it's not just a matter of Satan himself doing, you know, one, the demonic force plotting, planning against you. I'm using those where Satan actually called believers' names, and he does. But his whole force to move in. If you don't understand that the attacks against your marriage, against your single life, to distract you from a local church, from worshiping with other believers, is part of this whole battle, you don't understand how important you are. I'm not going to sit here and allow you to think that somehow the McGraths and the Love, boy, they're really in the battle. They're really out there. They could die. Yeah, and you could get a divorce, and you could be distracted from your church, and you could be distracted from a Christ-centered life, and you could be distracted from living in a spirit-filled life. That's what could happen to you. You can get mowed down. I heard a line in a movie, just because you use a silencer doesn't mean that you're not a sniper. It may not be the way they might have to deal with it. And you might not have to give up a fine television and a car and food and restaurants. No, your soul has to bear it with all the hurt and the agony that goes through these things. It talks a great deal about arrogance. You know what I'm studying a whole lot in this text, in the New Testament, and especially since I've been in 1 John? Fear. Fear. People, we don't have time to cut each other down. He's going to do a good enough job of that himself, Satan is. We don't have time for that nonsense. There are so many passages, and I'll go through some tonight if I quit preaching. It's already 8 o'clock. Would y'all mind staying to 11? There are so many passages in this book, in the New Testament, of encouraging one another. Of working with one another. Do not judge. Do not malign. Do not do these things. Love covers a multitude of transgressions. These are passages that are powerful for believers. Doesn't mean we condone sin. It means that we understand, here's the sin, now let's don't compound it with more problems. We've got to have this consciousness, and I've got verses to back this up. This isn't sloppy preaching. I want you to think about what a woman has to go through to get the divorce, and I have no one in mind. I have everyone in mind. Depending on an age, fear. There's nothing like fear to bring us to the sense of our immortality. I'm going to die. I'm getting older. I don't have this and I don't have that. And where am I going to live and where am I going to do these things? Single life. Teenagers in divorced families. We don't have time to criticize and judge. We have time only to encourage and to pray. You sit down and think about somebody that's going through something, a divorce, a sin or a failure, illness, financial problems. I want you not to just, we're so insensitive. Television, this violence thing. I mean, you know, I forgot how many people are, if you watch television a week, how many people you see murdered and how many people you see have sex and how, I mean, it's just an unbelievable a number, and I wonder what television station some of this is on. But the kids and the people are open to so much. We're just so insensitive. You hit somebody in the church, doesn't have a job. I'm sorry about that, okay. I want you to think about not having a job. Not being able to go work. And if people want to have a strike that makes $3 or $4 million in sports. In other words, if the court jester wants to strike because they're not getting enough, that's the court justice problem. But we're talking about other born-again believers here. You should think about it a second, and it'll cause you to go into prayer. You think about somebody sick, ill, all the time. And you don't sit there and think and become heavy. I'm not doing that to you, and you know better than that. You can't sit down and think because Barbara Wright, 24 hours a day, is in pain and still sits at a computer to get out our literature from this for this church. Not asking that kind of stuff. You know it. Now, as Paul says, when Paul talks about his suffering, not asking for pity. Talking about prayer. Encouragement. Somebody's getting a divorce. The effect on the woman, the effect on the man, the effect on the teenager, the children, the little ones. There's a lot going on. And if we lose the sight of these things, if somehow we're not really all that important and only the McGraths are and only the Loves are and only the seminary students are, you're so, so wrong. And I have failed as a communicator of truth. If he can distract any of you in this room, for whatever reason, away from worship, from a Christ-centered life, he's going to do what he can. You're in the battle. In a sense, it can be more in a battle than someone walking on a street where people carry machine guns. You just have to appreciate what Satan is doing and what fear, all the things about fear and what fear is and fear isn't in regard to our mortal self, in regard to things that we want. We have a lot of single young people, single people in this church. And you may flippantly say, well, they got it made. No, they don't have it made. The desire of marriage, immortality, fear, sex, 101 things. You just got to understand, Satan is alive. Hal Lindsey's book, he's alive, he's doing well, and he's doing very well. And you're in the battle, and he's calling lots of names. There's so many passages that deal with how we are to regard each other. So what happens so often is that believers, and I'm just talking about passages, I don't have time to take you through them, take my word for it. So many passages where believers will, that we read about, 8 of them you'll recall in the Church of Corinth in 2 Corinthians 7, where there is strife and jealousy, judging, gossip, from self-righteousness. Instead of using the tongue for prayer and encouragement. I don't care what we're talking about. I don't care if we're talking about some people going into a divorce because of a sin on one of their parts, or just because that's the end, that's what we call the conflict and bad decisions, or all of the other, actually philosophical analysis we want to make. Let me tell you where it comes down to. It comes down to God and Satan. If you've got a marriage, you better guard it, nourish it, and enrich it. And you better do it in Christ. Worship. I'm learning more in this text about what happens when believers will worship with each other. I'm not talking about sitting at home and listening to tapes. I'm talking about just coming on a night like tonight. This is not a control message here. This is the reality of what happens. Just to take a few minutes today. Every one of you come from so many different things today. To come together with other people who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He died on a cross, bearing the judgment of our sins, that He rose from the dead and that He lives, and that we are here to be His witness. And just to worship with some other people who also think the same way. And have that type of encouragement. This is why we are not to forsake the assembly of ourselves, but instead of gossiping and judging and maligning and all the things that we do with each other, all just totally neglecting to pray and to encourage. And I don't know any other way, and any clear way to teach it than to teach it in spiritual love, because spiritual love edifies, unites, it does so many things. Now, there are more passages on believers encouraging one another in regard to loving one another and serving one another, encouraging one another, than there are in one, learning Bible doctrine, or two, evangelizing the world. I'll tell you why that's true. Because if Satan can come in and split and divide the church so we don't get things done, we will not learn Bible doctrine and we will not evangelize. And that's why spiritual love is the foremost commandment for the church. It allows us to fulfill the commandment that we're here to do. So we have to understand what things that happen when Satan calls your name. It's a principle that I hope every one of you can get out of this study of when Satan calls your name. Every one of us are important in the plan of God in this conflict. Every born-again believer. No, maybe you're not on a foreign mission field, and no, maybe you're not what we call full-time Christian service, but please put this in your soul and in your notes, if you please. You are in full-time warfare. And Satan's going to do whatever he can to neutralize you. He hates you. If you ever get so depressed and you say, "The whole world hates me," you're right. Right! They do! But they hated Christ first. They hated Christ first. And now they hate you. You've entered into this battle. He hates your marriage if you want it to be Christ-centered. He hates your single life if you want it to be Christ-centered. He hates the church if it's going to be Christ-centered. And yes, we're going to suffer. So if you have, in our passage, let's take a look. Open the Word of God now to Luke 22. We've got to get to the text. Luke chapter 22 is our study. We're now about finished with the two verses that are critical to this point of our study. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Simon, Simon. Now, what I want you to do is to learn to be a friend like Jesus Christ. This is what I speak so much to encourage you and myself to be a friend like Jesus Christ. Peter is going to fail. I don't know what you think failure is. I don't know what failure is to some of you. We know that there are blatant sins in the Word of God. Are there categories of sin? Are there levels of sin? Is this one more horrible than this one and all of this kind of thing? It may be for somebody, it may be if someone is married, infidelity, adultery. It may be stealing because of your background. It may be just a lot of different things. In my soul, in the area of loyalty, to deny you to know Christ. Just to flat out say, "I don't even know Him." And He died on the cross for you. And He's given you eternal life, and we deny we even know Him. all these other sins just almost fade in the shadow. And please, I'm not minimizing sin. But to deny you even know him, he died for you. And especially for Peter, who walked with him physically and knew his face and eyes and hands and voice, and had to look into those eyes after denying him. Simon, Simon, behold, be aware something's going on. And that's what I want to keep coming back with you. There's something always going on. You've got to be aware of it. Behold, Satan, right in the middle of the conflict, demanded permission, and we've got too long with that word, to sift you like wheat, shake you up violently, hurt you, cause you to suffer. Now, that's what Satan's done. Verse 32, contrast between Satan and Christ, but I pray for you. People be that kind of friend. Job's friend, a judge, a cat. If you want to learn how to be a friend, learn from this. Yeah, but what if they, I don't care whatever they do. This man is about to deny Jesus Christ. See, your spiritual strength's got to be your spiritual life, and your relationship with God's got to be so secure that you can reach your hand down and be a friend to somebody no matter what they've done without it polluting you. If you're so worried, well, if I'm this person's friend, they're going to think I condone of what he does. They're going to think I condone that he's a homosexual. They're going to think that I condone that. Is your spiritual relationship with God that weak? Is it really that weak? That if you are able to encourage a believer and pray for a believer, that the whole world may think that you condone it and attack you? I hope not. So he says, I have prayed for you. Now this is what Christ did. You don't think prayer is important? Follow Christ. Now what did he pray? That your faith not be totally eclipsed. He prays in regard to his faith. He prays in regard to this man's faith. This is the battle. This is the battle. The faith. I have prayed that your faith not be totally eclipsed. And then we have the third one now. And you. So, just to go around in our triangle here, we have, in this deal, we have Satan has gone topside and has asked permission from God to sift you. But I, this is Jesus Christ, I've gone and prayed for you about your faith. Now you, and that refers you and I, but now you, Peter, context Peter, application, you and I. And you, this is what I want you to do, Peter. This is what Satan wants to do. Satan wants you to fall. And loves it. Loves it when you fall. And you know, a lot of believers are the same way. In a church. But I'm going to pray for you. Now we come down to your part, Peter. Peter, you're going to fail. But Peter, look what he says. Once you have turned again, strengthen your brother. Once you come out of this, Peter, and you will, and I want to say this to all of you. You'll come out of it. You hang in there, even when your faith seems to be eclipsed. You just hang in there. God is faithful. And you'll come out of it. And you'll have an assignment when you do. So he says, and you for your part. Satan's doing his part, causing you to collapse. I'm going to do my part. I'm not going to pray that you don't. I'm not going to pray that he doesn't get a hold of you. And I'm not going to pray that you don't fail. But I am going to pray about something else about you in regard to your faith, Peter, that it'll not be totally eclipsed, and that when you do come out of this, and you will, that you'll strengthen your brothers. Two principles. One, Peter himself was strengthened by the prayer of Christ Two, others are going to be strengthened by Peter. Peter himself was strengthened by the prayer of Christ. Others will be strengthened by Peter, but not until he fails miserably. Now it says here, your brother. This is a relationship word. Do not be afraid of this word brother. Now I don't want you to go around calling each other brother and sister. But we almost lose the point where we ignore the word in the Bible because it has been so abused. Here's another those words that has been so abused by so many people. It's amazing how they pick up these little things and abuse them. And brothers is another one of these, Adelphos. But put down in your notes, if you please, very simply, this is a relationship word. This is a relationship word. This is a biblical word. This relationship that you have with each other, and it came about by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Please look with me at Romans chapter 6. Look with me for a moment at Romans chapter 6. Start compiling a list of these things if you please. Romans chapter 6, verse 5. Romans 6, 5. All right, let's look at Romans chapter 6, verse 5. For if we have, and we have, first class, if we have become united, we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death. Certainly, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we must have no longer be slaves to sin, for he who has died is freed from sin. Verse 5, we have become united. Now, the reason that you and I are united, and this word brothers, is because of the death and resurrection of Christ and the fact that we've all believed in Him. And one reason we have trouble strengthening one another, encouraging one another, serving one another in spiritual love, praying for someone who has failed or is going to fail, it's because we have a very weak view of this word right there. We have a very weak view of it. We have a very weak view of our relationship with each other in Christ. We have a very weak view of eternity future when we shall spend all eternity with each other. We're going to spend eternity with each other. We are all in this same relationship with Christ. We're going to be resurrected together. We are going to sing praises to Him together. We are going to attend the banquet together. We are going to feast together. We are going to return to this earth together. I believe all of these things. I believe them with all my soul that every one of us in this room are going to come back. And things that you and I allow to disrupt with the mission and the hurting of each other in this church, and in any church, any group of believers, when you get to this point, isn't even going to matter. And then we're going to rule with Him for 1,000 years, and then we're going to be together with Him for all eternity. We're going to be together with Him. Now, all of that, if we're going to live by faith, and you know what faith is? Faith is that ability to live in eternity. Faith is that ability to live by the things that are not seen. Things that are temporal or pass away. Things that are eternal last forever. It's amazing how many people have so many things to do, they can't come and worship with each other. But then they claim to live by eternity. This is why you and I live by faith. And this is our attitude toward each other. And this is the word that Peter uses. We are to love one another as Christ loved. Spiritual love. It's the new commandment. We are to serve one another in love. Now, when is he to strengthen? Now, we looked at the word last week, so let's move on. I've got to pick up at least that point. When? When are we to strengthen and encourage another believer? When their faith is weak. That's one way to do it. When their faith is weak. People, when everything's going great, I've got news for you. I don't need encouragement. It's when things are not going great. It's when you're hurting like Peter. And that's why Peter's going to know how to do this. Peter's going to have an idea what it means to deny. Not an idea. He's going to know what it feels like and what it means in your soul to deny you even knowing. That's when people need encouragement. Job's three friends came to him, and Job was sitting there on some acid. And they pounced on him. They pounced on him. You know, even if Job had done something wrong, to have walked in and seen your friend like that and then to pounce on him, that's wonderful. You're just so self-righteous and so spiritual. People, when you suffered, like Peter suffered, you won't go around pointing fingers. And see, when I say things like that, what people automatically jump and do, not all of you, some. Yeah, but what if they really did something wrong, and does that mean we condone it? People, love, because love covers many transgressions, you've got to remember we studied this in spiritual love. It does not mean that love is blind or that love condones. It means that there's something more important. Let's get on with it. When a believer is down, so when do they need encouragement? When do they need this strengthening? When their faith is weak. In fact, I'll even word it this way. When their faith fails them. I don't know if you've ever been around someone like that. It's a horrible place to be. It's a horrible place for them to be, and it's a horrible place for you to be, because what in the world can you say? But this is when they need it. This is when they need the strengthening. This is when they need this type of encouragement. Now, this does not mean we do not encourage each other, do not encourage our teenagers to continue as they enter into school. You want something to start praying for? School started. School started. Now, every time you drive down the street and go through the yellow lights, it always says, you know, I need to say a prayer about the teenagers in our church while I'm going 10 miles an hour. Because they're going to get hit with all kinds of rotten things in this society. I'm something to pray for. That's who you can pray for. I'm not talking about not encouraging each other. But when faith becomes very weak, and it's so easy to come weak, someone's going through a divorce, someone's going through illness, someone's going through some type of disaster. I don't care if it's sin-related, unsin, no sin. You don't know why this is happening in their life, why this illness, why this divorce, why this tragedy, why this hurt, why this financial loss, and why they don't have any money, and why they're all doing this. It doesn't matter! Not to you and me. We've got to follow Christ and be in prayer and to encourage this way. So when they are under siege in the conflict, when Satan calls their name, when their faith is being sifted, don't judge, encourage. Don't judge, strengthen. Don't judge, pray for them. It is such a shame that believers like to judge, run down each other, call each other losers. And yet the head of the church instructs us not to judge and run down, but he encourages Peter, I want you to strengthen other believers now when you come out of this. Just because you fail, Peter, I'm not through with you. Peter, it's not going to be that easy. Oh, Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to weep bitterly. You're going to go through some trouble. But boy, do I have plans for you. I'm going to build my church on you. You have to always remember this challenge. Now, what? What is to be strengthened? What is to be encouraged? What is to be strengthened and encouraged? Their faith. When do they need it? When their faith is weak. What needs to be encouraged and strengthened? their faith throughout the Word of God. Old Testament, New Testament. Believers encouraged to strengthen each other's faith under adversity. Under adversity, faith is the battle. Let's note just a few passages in the closing moment. These are rich. They're the kind of thing a whole series should be built on. But since I'm in a series, I won't go to another series. I got to finish some series before we go to new series. All right? Acts 14:22. You're going to see this again soon, but let's look at it briefly now. Acts 14:22. I spent a great deal of time here in preparation for my presentation in Birmingham. Acts 14:22. This is the spreading of the church, establishing new churches. Once they've been evangelized, that's verse 21, after they have preached the gospel, so we've evangelized, and then it said, and made many disciples. This is the idea of bringing them together now, what you and I would understand in some Bible studies together. Now look at verse 22. Strengthening, now look what strengthening, strengthening the souls of the disciples, the new believers. Encouraging them to continue in the faith. People, do you remember, I don't know if you do or not, but when you go from an unbeliever, and the only way an unbeliever can live is by the flesh and by the now, that is by the material, by the temporal, this type of thing, and you all of a sudden you become a born-again believer, and now you are to live by faith and not by sight. You are to live your life trusting God now. You just learned about God. And you just learned about this man called Jesus who died on a cross bearing the sins of the world and is resurrected. And now you're supposed to live every day by faith. And then, look what it says, and I love it. Just to a brand new believer, this should have been a clue. And to continue to, in the faith, and that means faith, that is not something else, that's faith. And saying, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. I won't deal with the kingdom of God tonight. I still want to give you the work that I did for Birmingham, but that'll be another time. But to continue them in the faith, and especially to realize there's going to be tribulation. Because, as James says, here is the trying of your faith. Are you going when your faith is under siege and you're hurt? Are you going to continue to trust God? But what I want you to see here is strengthening and encouraging. People, they need it, we need it. This idea that we're all spiritual giants sitting alone is wrong. It is not biblical. I challenge anyone who wants to say that. I've got so many verses in this book about encouraging and strengthening one another. Not judging and maligning and attacking, but praying for one another. There's just too many. And I got a great one in Hebrew in dealing with this very issue. Now, look at Romans, if you will. Chapter 1, verse 11. I'll give you the deal because we're running out of time. Romans, chapter 1, verse 11. Romans 1:11. Romans chapter 1 verse 11, for I long to see you in order that I may impart some spiritual gift to you that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you while among you, each of us by the other's faith. People, it's just wonderful to come to church at night. I'm not here because I'm a pastor. I was in church when I was a teenager, was adolescent, teenager, always there. There is something about other people's faith that you people believe the same God and believe in Jesus Christ as I do. And there are all kinds of people in this room, rich, poor, male, female, successful, struggling, all kinds of things here. And yet we all have this one thing in common. Regardless of what our life is about, we all believe this. We all trust Him. This was encouraging to Paul. People, it is encouraging to a pastor to get up and teach people, to look out at people who also have this faith. I believe that too. And I want to hear more about it. This is what Paul constantly is doing. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. So many books of the New Testament we have to cover, but I'm going to be taking care of that too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Look at verse 2. And when we sent Timothy, our brother, and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith, to keep trusting God. It's tough to walk by faith, especially when you're suffering, especially when you're hurt. This is why Christ prayed for Peter's faith. It's tough. And it needs to be encouraged. To strengthen, look at the two words again, they're together. Strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. Will you continue to trust God? Will you continue to walk by faith? Will you not drift away? It's so discouraging to see people drift away from trusting God. Become discouraged, disillusioned, because they hurt, because of their illness, because of divorce, because of death of someone, because God has let them down, because they don't have a job, because of the suffering and the adversity and all that's going on. And if there really was a God, He would care. And He'd do something. And I'm just going to leave. It becomes very discouraging to see people fall away. I don't want to walk that way anymore. And something about encouraging others in the faith, that you trust and you believe in God. It's an encouragement, older people to see other older people, young people, middle-aged people, single people, married people, teenagers, to meet other teenagers. You love Christ also. I don't care if you're Baptist. I don't care if you're Methodist, Presbyterian. You Episcopals probably get in there. I'm just kidding. I don't care what you are. You mean you believe in Christ? I don't care if you're this man or that man or any man. It doesn't matter with Christ. And to run into those kind of kids at school, to encourage in faith when you're under disaster. Now, what does this do for Peter? Please give me just a few minutes to close this one part. Look at Peter, 1 Peter. All I want to do is read to you now some things. We're going to, next Thursday night, we're going to start just looking at Peter's, the sifting of Peter, and then Philippe will have the next one, and then we'll take a look at what happens afterward with Peter. I want to cover the sifting in one shot. All right, 1 Peter, look at chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. And remember, he's going to be sifted and deny Jesus Christ and then write, "Be of sober spirit, be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking to someone to devour, someone who loves the Lord." He's seeking to devour. I'm going to show you something when we come to it. Through the whole sifting of Peter, you'll never see Satan and you'll never read his name. We're gonna read how Peter will come into the inner court and how he'll be around a fire and how unbelievers will ask him if he serves and if he's one of Christ, and he'll say no three times. We'll hear about a cock crowing, and then we're gonna have Peter look at Christ, and then Peter's gonna go away bitterly. You'll never see Satan's name. And those who do not want to see him will never see him there. Satan really isn't an issue. But to those of us who have an eye to see and an ear to hear, he is all over that courtyard. He is putting such fear in that man, Peter. Fear, and Peter's going to deny. Peter knows what's going on. No, you don't see Peter when your marriage is under siege. You don't see Peter when you're Satan when you're crying in the night. You don't see Satan with some illnesses. You don't see Satan when you get distracted from worshiping with other believers. But to the eye that will see, into that spiritual realm, he and his forces are ever present. And I might add, nor do you see Christ. But I know he's there. And so is the adversary. So look what Peter says then. Coming out of, remember what he's come out of now. Satan has asked to call your name and sift you. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the powers of darkness. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion, seeking to devour. Look at verse 10. And after, here's Peter, you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace. What do you think Peter's learning all of this? The God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. Peter knows that firsthand. That's not just a dissertation on doctrine. Peter understands that, what that means. Look at 2 Peter 1:12. 2 Peter 1:12. It flows to Peter. Therefore, I shall always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them and have been established in the truth which is present in you. Look at chapter 3, verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, be on your guard at least, be on your guard, lest being carried away by the error of unprincipled men, unprincipled people, you fall from your own steadfastness. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And to Him, Jesus Christ, be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. He's living into that day of eternity. Here's a man who failed. Here's a man who denied Christ. And now he's going to strengthen. God wasn't through with him. But he's going to have to go through some tough times to get there. People need to be strengthened in their faith. Continue. Don't let them, Peter. Don't let them fall away. And you're going to know how easy it is and how it feels to have slipped away. Have your faith eclipsed. Don't let it happen to others. Encourage them. And Peter will do it. And Paul's going to suffer. I've got to make a decision. I've got a great passage I want to study with you. And I'll decide between now and next Thursday evening what to do. But this is what you and I are here for. So verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, you have given us a mission, an assignment, the relationship, Heavenly Father, to our own individual personal relationship with Jesus Christ and then corporately as a local assembly of believers. We know that the adversary prowls around looking to devour, but it is our purpose, Heavenly Father, to fulfill our individual destiny in Christ and then to fulfill our corporate destiny in Christ. We praise you for the God that you are, the grace you bestow, and the example that is set by your Son. In his precious name we humbly pray. Amen.